Some people collect stamps, others ride bikes or write poetry, but for commentator John Ridley, none of those standard pastimes would do. He came up with something unique that sent him on a mission to Los Alamos, New Mexico.
I have a new hobby. I'm a tactionist. That is, I like to come into physical contact with really cool people and stuff that most everybody else never can. My collection is still pretty small. I shook hands with President Clinton and Wayne Newton. So recently, when I had a chance to visit Los Alamos National Labs to research a miniseries I'm writing, I thought it would be a perfect opportunity to add to my collection by coming in contact with an actual nuclear warhead. Interestingly, that fit nicely with the other members of my collection. President Clinton used to have his finger on the button that would launch a pack of nuclear missiles, and I once saw Wayne Newton bomb at the Luxor in Vegas. A rare occurrence, I'm sure. I hopped a flight to Los Alamos National Labs, conveniently located in Los Alamos, New Mexico. The big difference between New Mexico and Old Mexico is that in the middle of winter, New Mexico is freezing cold, which is why I think they left the "and improved" out of New Mexico's name. The first rule of Los Alamos, where America goes for nuclear weapons, is security. I was told that by my guide, who, for security reasons, I'll call Jim, and because that's his name. I was ostensibly at Los Alamos for a tour of the admin building, which is where the X Division is located, which is where the Blue Room is, which is where they keep actual nuclear warheads for scientists to tinker with. To get into the admin building, you have to have a Q clearance, which is the highest level of clearance allowed by law. I didn't have Q clearance. I could only get ER clearance, which meant an escort was required to show me around. It was the lowest level of clearance and one that got me snickered at by all the scientists who could probably touch a nuclear warhead whenever they felt like it. Talk about clearance envy. Jim asked me a couple of security questions before I was let in. Was I carrying any explosive devices? Those were a no-no, which is kind of ironic, not being able to bring explosive devices into a place that makes explosive devices. Jim didn't see the humor. I also couldn't bring my cell phone into the building. Jim told me it was because my phone could be used as a remote listening device, which is kind of ironic because under the best circumstances, my cell phone can't be used as a listening device. Jim didn't see the humor. To say the least, the admin building was a disappointment. Forget about the secret mountain fortresses in James Bond movies, layered with stainless steel and bodiless computer voices announcing the imminence of critical test procedures. This joint had cinder block walls painted dull gray, leaky ceiling tiles, and a general design that seemed to have been approved by Ike himself. It was more like doing research in the Los Angeles Unified School District. Jim went on and on about how, though it was known for weapons, Los Alamos scientists were delving into the mysteries of neutrinos, whatever they are, and working on verification satellites. Yeah, great, but for my money, none of that measures up to patting down a nuke. So I told Jim what I wanted. What I wanted was to touch a warhead. He told me there was a nuclear museum in town where I could touch a replica of Little Boy, the first atom bomb. Touch a replica. That's like planning a ride in a Ferrari and ending up in a 57 DeSoto. I told Jim I absolutely had to touch a non-replica actual nuclear warhead. He asked why, and I told him about my hobby, and he had himself a good laugh, finally seeing the humor in something, and I told him I was serious, and he told me it was time to go. On our way out, I asked Jim if he'd ever come in contact with an actual non-replica nuclear warhead. He said he had. As we said our goodbyes, I shook his hands. Both of them, just to be sure.
The comments of John Ridley, a producer of the NBC series Third Watch and author of the novel Everybody Smokes in Hell.